It's a crazy world out there, ladies and gentlemen. It's a crazy world. Hey, how about those Olympics? Can anything get any more crazy? The open ceremonies, and now this boxer, two women boxer, well, a woman boxer in the ring with what nobody really seems to know what this other person is. There's reports that this actually is a woman, but she supposedly tested. She's from Algeria, this other boxer that beat up the Italian boxer. And there's reports that she actually is a woman, but she tested very high for testosterone. And usually, ladies and gentlemen, that means that's a woman trying to transition more to a man. And when I was looking at the videos and the pictures, it's like, that ain't no woman. That ain't no woman. Then there's also other reports that that's actually a biological male trying to transition to a female. And either way, that ain't no woman. So we have a lot of funny, strange, crazy things going on at the Olympics, ladies and gentlemen. And it breaks my heart because we have some of our very own athletes there that have trained many, many years and very hard training to be there. And they're doing remarkably well. But look at the atmosphere that they're in. I mean, it's very heartbreaking. This is your host, Robert Enos of Table Flippers Podcast. I'm also the lead apostle. Yes, I said that correct, ladies and gentlemen. Lead apostle of Greater Works Christian Church right here in beautiful Lancaster, California. We call it God's country because only God can stand the heat out here. Anyways, thank you for tuning in. I appreciate each and every one of you. Hey, listen, did you catch my last episode? My wife and I did it together, and it was our last episode. Just I published it or posted it about 2 days ago, maybe 3 days ago. And so please listen to that if you haven't. We talk about J.D. Vance being called weird by the Democrats. You know, there's an old saying, if that ain't the pot calling the kettle black, I don't know what is. So we talk about that, but we talked about a whole bunch of other issues. My wife is actually very brilliant. Don't tell her I said that. I don't want her to think that I've gone soft, but she is a very beautiful, brilliant, young, vibrant woman, and it was a pleasure having her on the podcast. We're going to do that more and more and more. As a matter of fact, somebody suggested after they listened to it, they said, you guys got such good chemistry. So maybe you guys should do like a marriage podcast. And when my wife told me that somebody had told her that, I started laughing because, ladies and gentlemen, my wife and I have been together for 35 years. Just, well, this month, it was July 22nd. We were together 35 years. When I say together, we were married 35 years, together 37 years. And we do get along. Most people wouldn't know that. You know what's so funny? Because my wife and I, we banter back and forth. We take little jabs at each other, make fun of one another. And we've had over the years several people going, you guys don't even like each other. It's like, wait. And it makes me back up and think about it. Oh, maybe to the untrained eye, to the amateur, they think we don't like each other. But we actually really We just enjoy one another's company. We love one another. We've been together for 37 years, married 35 years. We spend a lot of time together during the week because we're in the ministry and we both work here from the church or from home. So we're together a lot. If we didn't like each other, we would, we wouldn't be together for 37 years and work so closely together. So anyways, we might just do a podcast. And the reason I only am reluctant on it is because our kind of relationship, our kind of bantering is going to come over on these podcasts. As you, if you listen to the last one, you'll see. And that was just a really light one. But especially if we're talking about marital issues. So it would come out, and we don't want anybody to think that they can be like us in their relationship. It may not work for you. It works for us sometimes, but it may not work for you at all. I remember many, many, many years ago, this couple comes to the church and they were there for, you know, a few weeks and everything. And we tried to get to know them. So we took them out to dinner one night. And my wife and I were just being our same silly, goofy selves, bantering one another, you know, poking fun at one another and everything. She with me, I with her. And this other couple started doing that. And at first it was, I don't know, maybe refreshing in a way, because it's refreshing when you can see people that can do that and not get offended and not take serious digs at one another, but just fun things, you know. And they started doing that, and then within, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes, it didn't take long at all, ladies and gentlemen, they were at one another's throats. They were arguing, and it started getting heated, and my wife and I were sitting there like, our eyes, of course, open really wide, my jaw dropped, and I'm like, what just happened here? Playful banter turned into, now they're ready to stab one another with their steak knives. So we had to calm them down. We had to explain to them, well, you were doing it. No, we didn't take up arms and square off, you know, challenge one another to a duel. We didn't do that. And so it taught me something a long time ago that I can't expect everybody to have the same type of relationship. You know, they, you know, in their marriage that I have with my wife in our marriage. So we have to be careful with that sometimes, ladies and gentlemen. But it would be fun. I would love to sit back and do a marriage kind of counseling thing. You know, it reminds me, just not too long, it was a few months ago now, but not too long ago, somebody came to my wife and I and says, hey, we want to do this marriage thing. We're going to teach like a marriage class. And I'll be honest with you, this couple, their marriage wasn't even near strong enough to be teaching any kind of marriage class. But I couldn't tell them that, at least not in those words. I said, oh, okay, well, tell me more about what you think. Because sometimes, you know, if you're watching a video or you're all, you know, like you say, have five couples or 10 couples and you're reading through the same book and you're discussing it, maybe. But they wanted to kind of teach this marriage class themselves because they were going through some type of curriculum on their own. People that at that point I never heard of before. And they said, we want to kind of teach their curriculum, not put on a DVD or something like that and watch it together. They wanted to kind of reteach what they're learning from this couple. So I found out who they were and I checked them out a little later and I was just like, heck no. I try not to use any kind of bad language, ladies and gentlemen, even the type of language that might, you know, some people call curse words and other people don't call curse words. So I just say, heck no, heck no. Trying to do it like my hillbilly family back in the South. Heck no, ladies and gentlemen. Because what I saw on this video was I'm just going to be honest with you, a very wimpy, sissy-like man with a domineering wife, but domineering in that kind of undertone kind of way that to the naked eye, ladies and gentlemen, appears that she is submissive to her husband and he's that strong male. But I've been at this, like I said, for 37 years, married 35 years. I've watched it. I've seen marriages come and go. I've seen, you know, truly strong men leading strong families. I've seen weak men leading weak families. I've seen the Jezebel trying to lead the family from that wickedness and that undercurrent. And I'm not going to go so far as to say that this woman in this video was a Jezebel, but she certainly wasn't the woman that this other couple thought that she was. And the man wasn't the man or the husband that they thought or hoped that he was. As a matter of fact, because this man in this video teaching on marriage was, you know, soft. When I say soft, I'm not talking about men. We have to be rough with our wives. Not at all. But we don't have to be pansies. All right? And this guy kind of had that, how can I put this? You know, there's just really some pansy, wimpy men out there. And just because you have a few muscles and you wear a muscle shirt doesn't make you a man. That kind of thing, you know? And what, you know, what was sad, I'm just going to be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, what was really sad is the reason that this couple, you know, thought they were really getting something out of this other curriculum, this man and wife that was teaching on marriage, is because they saw themselves in that couple. Because the gentleman in this, you know, that came up to me, he and his wife, he's certainly not an alpha male, especially in his marriage. As a matter of fact, his wife dominates him, even to the point of putting him down, speaking negatively about him, talking bad about him to his face. And what does he do? Nothing. And she's very, you know, domineering and pushy and in a very manipulative kind of mental, emotional kind of way. So on the surface, again to the naked eye, to the untrained eye, ladies and gentlemen. You don't always catch it, but then when you do catch it, you kind of do a quick inventory and realize, whoa, this is bad because of that whole undercurrent and wickedness, you know. So anyways, I said all that to say this. If my wife and I end up doing any podcasts on marriage, you're going to, if nothing else, tune in because it'll be a comedy show. We got so many funny stories and things like that just in our marriage and raising children. We have four kids and three grandbabies, you know, and they're all great kids, you know, serving God, taking the bull by the horn, so to speak, making life happen. And I'm very proud of each and every one of them. So we'll have a good time doing that if we ever get around to it. And again, the only reason I would be hesitant is because our marriage is so unique that I don't want to ruin anybody else's marriage trying to explain to them how our marriage works. So, I know that might sound funny, but you know, it's the truth. I do want to read this article. It's a very short article, but it goes along with what my wife and I were talking about J.D. Vance and the Dems calling him weird. J.D. Vance is the gentleman that President Trump has chosen for his running mate for vice president. And J.D. Vance is a gentleman that's come through a lot of struggle in his life. He, I guess he wrote a book. See, I didn't know anything about J.D. Vance until Trump introduces him. And now, of course, J.D. Vance is everywhere. People are trying to figure out who this guy is. So apparently he wrote a book, Hillbilly Elegy, and it turned into a movie. Somebody made it into a movie. We watched the movie the other day just to show his life, what he's overcome, what he's been able to accomplish, what he's been able to do, his background, where he's come from. And I related to it, not that I grew up in the same type of poverty that he did. We were lower middle class, me and my family, but in the Southern California area. But my family, my dad, my mom, their family, all that comes from, Arkansas, Oklahoma, Missouri, and that part of the country. So, you know, and my grandma, and who I used to call Granny, my great grandma, and all of them that were from that part of the country. And I joked around in our last episode. I said, so one side of my family is all redneck. The other side of my family is all hillbillies. So the rednecks and the hillbillies came together and produced me. And even though I'm having fun with it, it's in a very real way. I mean, that's what happened. So a lot of the things that I saw in this movie, some of the phrases that I heard, some of the actions, and the things that J.D. Vance went through growing up, I remember. Maybe, again, I'm not trying to claim that I came through the same struggles that he did. I mean that same kind of backdrop of the basic things that he faced. And, you know, like one of the things that we've had to overcome, and I've had to really make a big, huge mental adjustment in me, is that backing up a family, regardless of what they've ever done or how bad they've ever been, just because they're family. You back them up, you support them, you know, all of that stuff. And that was a huge one to me. That was a huge one for me. And I see that in that movie that, you know, J.D. Vance had to deal with that, you know, had to work through that. And I thank God that he did, because he's able to see it on both sides, you know. But some of the sayings, some of the actions in all of that, same thing. I watched that in my grandma. He called his grandma Meemaw. I remember that in my grandma. I remember that in my grandfather. I remember that in my aunts and uncles, you know, the different sayings and the different things, you know. So anyways, it just really resonated with me. So as I've been getting to know this J.D. Vance, or know of him, man, this is an upstanding guy. He's a family man. He's married to an Indian woman with Indian background. He has, I believe, two children. He's big on going to church, getting married, raising children, you know, the American dream, doing all of these things. And the Democrats have the nerve to call J.D. Vance weird because of this. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if that's weird, well, then I'm really weird, because I believe those same things. Me and my wife, we've been married for 35 years. We've had four kids. We raised them. And now we're in our grandkids' life as well. We pastor a church, so we go to church a lot. We're doing those things that get J.D. Vance, you know, labeled weird. We're living them every day. So, you know what? I think we should just form a weird support group, and anybody that associates with those things that they call weird, let's just all join. Oh, we did. It's called the United States of America. And now the real weirdos are trying to take over, so they're labeling us weird. I think we need to take our country back, ladies and gentlemen. But anyways, let me get back to this. This was actually published, put out yesterday, July 31st, 2024. And it just says by Daily Wire. Oh, I see what it is. What they're doing is there was a video from Fox News, like a news report or a news, whatever you call it, and on Fox News. So Daily Wire picked it up and is commenting on it. But it says Lisa Booth, and she's a contributor for Fox News. Lisa Booth, if GOP is weird, then Democrat Party is the party of purple-haired circus freaks. And again, that's the Daily Wire, July 31st, 2024. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I have to warn you, if this is your first time tuning in, or maybe you've tuned in and you know, and I haven't been on some, you know, like comedic streak, you're probably going to hear me bust up laughing in this, okay? I'm going to do my best to keep it together, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to do my best. You see, let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen, just so you know. At times when I sound really angry, don't get me wrong, I know that there's things that really make me angry and frustrated, and you'll hear it come out in my voice. And a lot of people say, you're just an angry person. It's like, no, I get angry. But you know what? It doesn't take very long for that anger, especially in these types of situations, to turn into just something hysterical, okay? Hysterical, and I'll laugh. I'm still angry for the backdrop of it, but I laugh at the way it's portrayed often. So when you got Lisa Booth, if the GOP is weird, then Democrat Party is the party of purple-haired circus freaks. I mean, that's funny. You know, what's going on in our country angers me, but that is funny. Why? Because she nailed it, and it's true. Anyways, so let's go through this, ladies and gentlemen. It says, Fox News contributor Lisa Booth pushed back on recent attempts by Democrats to brand the Republican Party as weird by highlighting some of the more outlandish things that have happened within the Democrat Party under President Joe Biden. Booth, who made the remarks Wednesday afternoon on the network's The Faulkner Focus, said, I don't think the Democrats can call the Republicans weird, and if they are, they're the party of freaks. So let me back up just a little bit. So she's saying, if Republicans are weird, then Democrats are absolute freaks. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't think Republicans are weird. At least there might be some weird things in us, but that whole concept of the nuclear family, one man marrying one wife, having several kids, buying a home, establishing a life together, that's not weird at all. Okay, that's not weird. That's what entire civilizations and cultures have been built upon for thousands upon thousands of, well, since man has stepped foot on this earth. So what we see in the Democrat Party trying to destroy all that and redefine what family is, what a man is, what a woman is. They don't even know what a woman is. So they're trying to redefine all these things. Yeah, the Democrat Party is the party of freaks. So all you Democrats out there, please, you know, I don't want you to get offended. I mean, if you do, you do. That's on you. But I don't want you to get offended. I want you to get right. I want you to get right in your head. I want you to get right with God. I want you to pick up the Bible, read it, believe it, and do it. Get right with God, repent of your wickedness, and get rid of this freakish behavior. Separate yourself from this freakish party and the freakish, nonsensical policies and ideologies in the Democrat Party, and start living a normal, healthy, whole life. Anyways, let me go on. She says, I mean, Joe Biden was the one that picked a guy who has an animal role-playing fetish that he's open about that went on the steel suitcases Booth. I'm sorry. I read that and I didn't see a punctuation, and I just kept on going. Let me read that again. Let me back up and read that again. My mind was trying to picture this because I remember the pictures of this nonsense before when all this was going down. So it caught my attention, and I was just in space somewhere. It says, I mean, Joe Biden was the one that picked a guy who has an animal role-playing fetish that he's open about that went on to steal suitcases, Booth began. He had a transgender activist in the South Lawn flashing the cameras. You had a Democrat staffer filming a sex tape on Capitol Hill, she said. Cocaine was found at the White House. Now, ladies and gentlemen, see, check this out. The reason they are calling J.D. Vance weird is because of a statement that he made about those running our government are like cat ladies. And it freaked everybody. Oh, he's so weird. He's so weird. He said we're like cat ladies. Well, you are. Y'all are weirdos. So when you put this into perspective of who the Democrat Party is, who Joe Biden is, and now, in this sense, who Kamala Harris is, you start to really realize that, yeah, J.D. Vance wasn't so far off, and he's not so weird. So I want to read that again, especially because I butchered it. But I want to read this again. She says, I mean, Joe Biden was the one that picked a guy who has an animal role-playing fetish that he's open about that went on to steal suitcases, Booth began. He had a transgender activist on the South Lawn flashing the cameras. You had a Democrat staffer filming a sex tape. And cocaine was found at the White House. That's not even everything, ladies and gentlemen. That's not even near everything. That's not even a quarter of all the weird things that's been happening in and around the Democrat Party and in our very beloved White House under Joe Biden and these other freak Democrats. But let me go on, ladies and gentlemen. She said, Booth continued, so if the Republican Party is the party of weirdos, the Democrat Party is the party of purple-haired freaks. But beyond that, let's get to the issues. Kamala Harris can try to lie all she wants because that's what she is. I mean, we all remember when she stood on the debate stage during the 2020 presidential debate when she was vying but had to drop out before Iowa. She basically called Joe Biden a racist, signed up to be VP, and then when asked about it, she was like, oh, that's just politics, right? So if you vote for Kamala Harris, she's going to sell you out, Booth said. And she's the kind of politician, Kamala Harris is, who punishes hardworking Americans and rewards criminality. You know, if you like affordable energy, too bad. She wants to ban offshore drilling and fracking. If you like your guns, too bad. She wants to ban AR-15s and confiscate them. If you like your private insurance, too bad. She says she's getting rid of it and supports Medicare for all. But what does she support? She supports decriminalizing illegal border crossings. So if you're an immigrant coming in here, you're fine. She also told Jacob Blake, a guy who pulled a knife on police officers, that she was proud of him. So hardworking Americans, she doesn't like you. Criminal? Oh, she loves you. Now, that's the end of this article, ladies and gentlemen. And before I throw any more of my brilliant analysis on this and other things, I want to read to you some of the comments because there's a comment section on the Daily Wire after every article, and I just want to read some of these. This is from Jason, 869-10327. Sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but that's the screen name that he has up there. He writes, right? I'll take being weird over mentally ill, purple-haired, screeching SJWs. I'm not sure what that stands for, but SJWs, men pretending to be women, women pretending to be men, open borders, and everything being unaffordable any day of the week. So he wants weird over all the mental illness and nonsense on display. Bill Cogswell says, the Biden-Harris has been nothing but a grotesque carnival freak show at every senior position and several layers down in each department. Crazy hair-sniffing Uncle Joe, nonsensical cackling horse-faced Kamala, chest-feeding Alfred E. Newman, doppelganger Mayor Pete, mentally ill Dr. Admiral Richard Rachel Levine, cross-dressing ex-energy official and women's clothing stealer Sam Brinton, empty-headed sock puppet spokesperson Karen John Peter, and on and on. And ladies and gentlemen, even though he threw in some colorful description, this dude is absolutely right. They call Republicans weird because we just want to, you know, a man, a biological male, wants to get married to a biological female and have real children and actually protect them and go on to build a legacy and a life with that. But all these other, I mean, freaks, I mean, people that belong literally in a rubber room so they don't hurt themselves or the rest of society. But let's go on. Tony Span writes, oh, the irony of Dems calling Repubs weird when they push, fund, and support trans fuzzies and etc. Did you see the guy in the animal costume being walked on the leash by his partner in San Francisco? And San Francisco for a long time has been under Democrat control, including Kamala Harris. I'll read you two more. This screen name is Hunter Biden. I believe it's supposed to be dealer. Hunter Biden's DLR. So Hunter Biden's dealer. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. He goes on to write, I am sorry, but that is an inaccurate description of Mrs. Booth. Those are mostly obese and unattractive purple-haired circus freaks. So he had to correct Miss Booth. She just called him circus freaks. Purple-haired circus freaks, I'm sorry. He had to correct her by saying they were obese and unattractive purple-haired circus freaks. Yeah. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen. See, I can't help myself sometimes. People are funny. You know, when you just let the animal out of the cage, people can be funny. Here's another one. Kathy Pignataro. That's the screen name. Led by an empty pantsuit sock puppet. Ooh, I almost said something I would have regret. Led by an empty pantsuit sock puppet. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The people have spoken. The people have spoken. About Kamala Harris, the purple-haired circus freaks, the furries, the trans, all of those, they threw under that rug of, you know, if we're weird for being Republican, we'll take it. But they are just freaks. And I don't mean that in any way good or positive. So, ladies and gentlemen, what are we going to do with this? What are we going to do with this? We really need to get ourselves together, ladies and gentlemen. All of those of you who are just proud to be weird, but in the right ways, like, you know, healthy, whole, raising a family, going to a job, starting a business, that kind of thing. You know that, you know, you males out there, you actually know that you're a man, and you females out there, I'm talking about biological, you actually know that you're a woman, and you can define what a woman is, usually by, you know, you ladies at least, by looking in the mirror and go, yep, there's a woman. I can define that. Here I am. They can't. Something as simple as that, biologically simple as that, they can't. So what are we going to do? Well, we got to get them out of power. We got to get them out of position. We've got to vote them out. We've got to remove them. You know, we've got to look at this with that same... Now, again, I have to say this because a lot of people misunderstand. But the same kind of vigor as our forefathers did at the Revolutionary War. You know, we've got to draw a line in the sand and say no further. As a matter of fact, not only no further, but we've got to start throwing the wackos and the weirdos and the freaks back over where they belong. We need to remove them, you know, from any place of power or position. And when I say that, I'm not talking about violence, ladies and gentlemen. Please don't say he advocates violence. No, you know what I advocate? A true revelation, but that too, but a revolution of turning things around. And do you know how we can do it? At the voting booth. You know, a lot of you Republicans and conservatives out there, now you say, well, I don't like Trump, so I'll vote for somebody else, or I won't vote at all. Do you know how stupid you are if you do that? Do you know how foolish you are? You're throwing our country to those purple-haired circus freaks. And I'm not playing. I'm not kidding. You are the real reason this country is in the mess that it's in, because you can't come together and support a man like Donald Trump. He's the only one that has a chance of winning on the conservative side. So to try to support anyone else than him is throwing your vote away to the other side. And we are horrible at playing the long games, ladies and gentlemen. The conservative movement, the Republican Party, conservatives in general, horrible at playing the long game. Liberals, excellent at playing the long game. If they can only get an inch, they will take that inch. And they will inch their way across the finish line of debauchery and depravity if it takes them 1,000 years, because they just keep moving forward. But with conservatives and Christian conservatives, Christians, we don't even get me started, ladies and gentlemen, but I'll just say this. Christians, conservatives, we have to sometimes be okay with not getting everything we want out of a candidate. I mean, if that candidate, the best candidate that can win, is only 50% of what we really want, take it. You might only gain an inch, but you're still gaining something. We have to be in this for the long haul. And we have to look at it like this. I may not even be on this planet before we get fully what we know we need in this planet. But if in my lifetime I can help move the ball 2 feet closer to the goalpost, then we're moving it 2 feet. You know, we have to be content with making some progress. Now, don't get me wrong. I want to make all progress, but we've got to be content making some progress. And we've got to be in it for the long haul. The liberals have been doing that for, 70 years? You know, honestly, the liberals have really been doing that since the slaves were freed. And this is true. Those were the Democrats that were fighting to keep slavery. Those were the Democrats that made the Ku Klux Klan. And what do we still see? The Democrats now using absolutely everything that they possibly can, you know, to twist things. They, you know what? Here's the thing. I was looking at some a video clip with Kamala Harris and some transgender people in our White House. So whoever wins, okay, President Trump, when you win, I pray that the first thing that you do is, you know, you, your family, and I hate that you guys have to do this, J.D. Vance and his family and everybody that works for your entire staff, put on your rubber gloves, you know, the kind that come up all the way up to your armpits. Put on your masks, and I don't mean those cheap flimsy masks that they try to tell us would save us from COVID, but real masks. Get your bleach, your alcohol, get your sponges and your mops and your buckets, and go into that White House and scrub it from top to bottom, inside and out, up and down, and just, I mean, you know, do a physical cleansing. Then part two, bring in every truly anointed man or woman of God that knows how to pray, and anoint that place and drive out every wicked demonic spirit that Biden, Harris, and all the other knuckleheads brought in there. Clean that White House. Oy, ladies and gentlemen, that's what I suggest. But how do we do this, ladies and gentlemen? A revolution. What kind of revolution? It should only need to take place in the voting booth, when every American rises up and says, enough's enough, I'm voting for the best possible candidate that can win, i.e. Donald J. Trump, J.D. Vance, let's do this, let's make it win. But when we do that, and we do that on every level, senators and assemblymen and Congress and governors and city councils, and we get some really true God-fearing people in there. Remember all those weirdos that like to go to church? Fear God. When we get them into these positions, then this country will start rising. We'll get over our national debt. Because a lot of people say, no, it's too much. Something else has to happen. We'll never be able to pay it off. You're right. We'll never pay it off. We will never pay it off. But I do know a God that's bigger than that huge national debt number. So when we get people in the key positions who truly know their God and can cry out to God in repentance and be obedient to him, you watch that national debt go away. Not in a fake, phony, weird way, but because God will bless this nation. It will be one nation under God, blessed of God. So when we do that, we have to get back to this. You know, back to this J.D. Vance weird stuff and the freak show that is the Democrat Party. Ladies and gentlemen, really honestly, and here's the thing, you know, I was just saying, it goes all the way back to the Civil War, maybe even before that, but at least to the Civil War with the Democrats. They're the party that fought to keep slavery. They're the party that established the Ku Klux Klan. They're the party that started embracing Marxist, communist, socialist mentality to try to win. But now they're completely owned by that Marxist communist mentality completely. And what are they doing? They're embracing every kind of fringe, weird fringe group to further and advance their ideology and what they want. And you watch, if they really get what they want, they won't need them anymore. They really won't need them. And as history has proven, those are the guys that end up shot in a ditch somewhere. They were needed for a while, but once they came into the power, they didn't need them anymore. And they were an embarrassment, so they had to get rid of them. Off to the gulag or into the ditch. Anyway, so ladies and gentlemen, here we are. We have so much stuff, so much work to accomplish, but it's nothing for God. It's nothing for God. We will be driving ourselves crazy, spinning our wheels, and pulling our hair out if we just keep trying to do it our way. We are a nation that needs to truly come back to God. And I'm not talking about some fake, weird, strange way. I'm not even talking about just show up to church on Sunday and everything will be okay. That's part of it. That is a huge part of it, but that's not the only thing. We're a nation that needs to get onto our knees. Did you know Joe Biden, I believe, was the first president? I think he was the first president, if not the first. It doesn't even matter. It just shows you who he is, that did not have prayer on the National Day of Prayer in the White House. See, it's like that. We've been doing this for many, many, many years, lifting up this nation before the one true God of the Bible and asking his blessing. And now under the Democrats, that doesn't happen anymore. You know, so we have a lot to answer for, and we will never have the right answers. We'll never be able to fix these problems. Only God can fix them. And how? We have to repent. We have to come back to him as a nation. That means as individuals, yes. As churches, of course. As families, yes. As cities, uh-huh. As states, most certainly. But as a nation as well. And God will bless this nation so radically, so abundantly, it'll make your head spin. But we've got to do it. We've got to get back to God. We've got to, you know, get over all this nonsense. And we've got to lift up people like J.D. Vance, who's a family man, married, kids, goes to church, and has overcome a lot. You notice he has the natural hair, natural beard, not purple, not green, nothing weird. And he flies the American flag, not the LGBT alphabet flag. Anyways, God bless you all, ladies and gentlemen. But I am calling us all back. We've got to get to a true sense of morality, a true sense of repentance, true sense of what it is to be based and rooted in Christ. God bless. Thank you for joining us at Table Flippers. Table Flippers Podcast is a ministry of Greater Works Christian Church in Lancaster, California. You can find us on the web. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Instagram. Look for us at Greater Works Christian Church or Table Flippers. I hope to see you soon.